The rise of Christian nationalism. This is going to be a good podcast. I've been looking forward to doing this. Fritz Bergen, bloodandfaith.com. Woke up this morning, went to Drudge Report just as a matter of habit. Been going there for years and years and years and years and years. And then all of a sudden about, 4 years ago, it changed. They turned into a left-wing outlet. Nevertheless, it's just a force of habit. My fingers just type in Drudge Report. And what am I greeted with this morning? DrudgeReport.com, a wonderful, beautiful front page. It talks about the rise of Christian nationalism. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful, wonderful news. So I clicked on the link, went to the article. We're going to talk about this article. But anytime you have something like this, of course, it's meant to scare. It's meant to be a scare tactic thing. But it's actually it's a good news story. They are afraid. And they're publicly signaling that they are afraid. And they're giving publicity to the movement. So this is not a bad thing. And I will say the same thing I've said about being called a racist or a sexist or a homophobic or queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, or Islamophobic. Don't fight this stuff. Don't fight this stuff because it grips them. Don't let it grip you. These are false accusations. They're the accusations of Satan. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and he tries to load guilt upon you and sin upon you and accusations upon you, sins for which you are not guilty. These are false sins. These are Satan's Ten Commandments. They're not God's. Oh, you're sexist because you believe the male is the head of the family. I'm biblical. I'm Christian. The male is the head of the family, whether it's a Christian family or not, by the way. The male is the head of the household. Oh, that's sexist. That's misogynist. Your words have no meaning. Your words have no meaning. They need to be discarded in a Christian narrative. And these words have been invented by Antichrist peoples, Antichrist thinkers, Antichrist prophets, Antichrist religions, Antichrist races, in order to undermine the only narrative that counts. The only truth that exists, which is the truth in Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ is also called the Word of God. You can read that in the book of Revelation. He's got a name written on him, which is called the Word of God. What's the Word of God? It's everything between the covers of the Bible. Genesis through the Revelation, that's the Word of God. That Word of God is eternal. Well, let's get back to this article on Christian nationalism. I had to go read it. Of course, just to give you some context, I read a little bit about the person that wrote this article. Of course, they're not a Christian. Deepa Bharath. Of course, she's had fellowships from the International Women's Media Foundation, the International Center for Journalists. By the way, these international foundations, you go back and you track down the money that funds these things. Some of it's government money. Some of it is money from large left-wing organizations. And you go in there and you tutor and you mentor these people to be the teachers and the pastors of their cult. And I've said this before, and I'm going to keep saying this. The world is a cult. You want to get out of the cult, there's only one way, and that is through the Word of God and faith in Jesus Christ. So here's a little cult member. She's a disciple. She goes to these institutes, and her brain is filled up with garbage and lies. And then she comes out and writes an article to make Christians look bad. That's her intent. But I'm going to go through this article, and it's not a bad article. My opinion, maybe I've just come full circle on this stuff. But Christians have to stop being afraid. That's the number one thing. Christians have to stop being afraid, and they're afraid to be called a nationalist. They're afraid to be called racist. They're afraid to be called sexist or homophobic. Why? Why? Why are you afraid? Joshua and Caleb go into the Promised Land with 10 of their brethren, and they just said, look, yeah, we got some obstacles to overcome, but we will overcome them in the name of Jesus Christ. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, by the way, served Jesus Christ. It was pre-incarnation. Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh as we know of him as when he was incarnated 2,000 years ago, born of Mary, born of a woman. But remember, John 1, Hebrews 1, Jesus Christ is the Creator. And when God Almighty shows up and manifests himself and shows himself to a person, that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, no man has seen the Father. Jesus Christ is the representation of God. He's the representative of God. He's not just the Savior. He's not Lord. He's the representative of the Father. So when Caleb or Joshua or Moses speaks face to face with God Almighty, they're speaking face to face with Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning with the Father, by him, for him, and through him all things came into being. Anyway, let's get to this article. So it's talking about this Republican guy in Idaho. The guy's name is, I got to turn to the right page here. See, they don't put page numbers on this, do they? Victory party for Doug Mastriano. Pennsylvania's Republican gubernatorial primary this month. A Christian singer led the crowd in singing song. Some raised their arms towards the heavens in praise. What's wrong with that? That's a beautiful thing. He opened his remarks by evoking scripture. God uses the foolish to confound the wise. And then he says, let's choose this day to serve the Lord. That ought to be a normal conversation every day for any Christian and any politician. We are a Christian nation. We need to be a Christian nation. We need to repent as a nation and be a Christian nation. This is wonderful. This is good news. Yeah, I don't care how small and weak we look. Joshua and Caleb, they went to the promised land. They said, oh, it looks scary. But they said, no, we can do it. We can do this because our God can overcome. So the author goes on and talks about a surge of Christian nationalism amongst Republican candidates. Christian nationalism used to be the norm in the United States. And they've just done such a good job extinguishing Christianity from the public sphere that now they're having a heart attack that there's a revival going on. Christian nationalism was the normal in American society for 300 years, since our founding in the 1600s, since the English Christian colonists came over, the Puritans and the Pilgrims. But these Antichrist peoples have taken over our public schools and our universities and have demonized Jesus Christ. Please remember your Gospels. Please remember the Holy Scriptures. What did they say of Jesus Christ? He has a demon. Okay, the same people have come out and demonized the followers of Jesus Christ. This is not something that you should be surprised of. The Puritans and the Pilgrims, demonizing them. Oh, they're horrible people. They're intolerant. They're divisive. They're misogynist. They're racist. All the usual things. And they've gutted the sense of Christianity out of this country. But there's still a deep reservoir there. It needs to be tapped. And we need to tap it amongst heritage Christians, the sons and daughters of Christendom. Our forefathers came over from Europe and brought the gospel of Jesus Christ. The entire Western Hemisphere was converted to Jesus Christ. Northern America, the Northern Americas, North America, Canada, U.S., largely unpeopled, largely. At least compared to the Valley of Mexico and the Andes, largely unpeopled. And God made it that way in his providence so that a Christian people could come here and flourish. And God sent the Spaniards over to convert the demon worshipers in the Valley of Mexico and in the Andes, converted them to Jesus Christ. That is not something to be ashamed of. That's something to be proud of. You need to shove this right back down their throats. I've got my PhD in history. U.S. diplomatic history and Latin American history. Oh, I remember them. Oh, gosh, all these Christians, they came over and converted the heathen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what they were supposed to do. And it wasn't unusual up until, I don't know, not that long ago. Of course this is a Christian nation. And I've got a series of quotes from things such as the Supreme Court and Harry Truman talking about how this is indeed a Christian nation. Culturally, And it ought to be that way. Yet there's a small group of people that hate Jesus Christ. It's the same small group of people that hated Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And they invert everything. They call Jesus Christ a man full of demons. And now they're demonizing the followers of Jesus Christ today. Continues. Until Christians wake up to this, they're not going to get it. In fact, that's one of the most evil things that's going on today, the subversion of Christianity into Judeo-Christianity. Judaism is Antichrist. Judaism has been Antichrist for over 2,000 years. Jesus Christ made that explicit. He told him, he said, hey, if you had believed in Moses, you would have believed in me. He says, you don't worship God. Your father's the devil. Go read the gospel according to St. John, especially chapter 8, especially the last half of chapter 8. And continue reading what Jesus Christ said about that religion and the people that follow it. Evil. You can't worship Satan and say, you know, oh, we're God's chosen people. Sorry. No, the God's chosen people are those that accept and worship Jesus Christ. Period. Full stop. Baptized into Jesus Christ. And if you have a religious movement that utterly rejects Jesus Christ, demonizes Jesus Christ, which Judaism does, all right? Remember, this is what they said. Oh, he has a demon. He has a demon. It's all in the Gospels. And now demonizes his followers. And so here's this little gal writing this letter, writing this article, trying to make Christians look bad. Anyway, scholars, okay, so here's the thing. So they refer to scholars. But scholars generally define Christian nationalism as going beyond policy debates and championing a fusion of American and Christian values, symbols, and identity. Great, what's wrong with that? A couple of things I want to point out in this article. One, but scholars. So it's a reference to authority. Well, I'm going to refer to the priests and the prophets of my cult. This is what this author is doing. I'm going to refer to the priests and the prophets of my cult. Scholars say, these are their high priests. These are the prophets of their cult. Scholars say, Christian nationalism is going beyond policy debates and championing a fusion of American and Christian values, symbols, and identity. Praise the Lord. Praise God for that. Do you not know what a culture is? Culture is the ground from which a society emerges. We must have a Christian culture. We must fuse the gospel of Jesus Christ with everything we do. The Ten Commandments need to be on the walls of every government school out there. That's the foundations of our law, foundations of our culture, foundation of our morality, foundation of the legal system, the Ten Commandments. This is a good thing. And they've basically wiped out Christianity from all of our public institutions. There needs to be a revival of it. What have these people brought? What have these Antichrist peoples brought to this country? Every evil thing out there. Look at the agenda of the current administration. They want to fill this country with non-Christian people. Oh, let's bring in, you know, a million Afghanis. Bunch more Somalis. Bunch of Muslims. Why? Diversity is not our strength. Diversity strengthens the totalitarian system that would rule over a Christian people. For Christianity to survive in the long term, we need Christian nations and Christian nation states. That's a fact. And that's what bloodandfaith.com is all about. That's what I'm all about. Fritz Berggren. Drudge Report gave me some publicity a while back, too. Of course, they call you the dirty names. They call you all the dirty names. Why? Don't be afraid of dirty names. Don't be afraid of dirty names. And what the church has been cowed into silence and beaten with cudgels of guilt upon their back, saying, I'm not this, I'm not that, and trying to resist the accusations of the devil. I'm not a racist, I'm not sexist, I'm not misogynist. All I'm asking you to do is go back and read your Bible. Go back and read your Holy Scriptures. Take your values organically out of the full story of the Bible, from Genesis through the Revelation. And go back and read. Who's the head of the household? It's the male. Oh, but that's misogynistic. That's sexist. Hey, listen, I serve Jesus Christ. I serve the Word of God. Why do Christians allow themselves to be burdened with the devil's accusations and sins that aren't sins at all? Moving on. Christian nationalists, they say. Who's they? It's the prophet. She's referring to authority. She's referring to her own prophets of her cult. Christian nationalism, the cult leaders say, is often accompanied by belief that God has destined America, like the biblical Israel, for a special role in history, that it will receive blessings or judgment depending upon its obedience. Hello, Deuteronomy 28. This is exactly true. Every nation will receive blessings or punishment based on its obedience to the Ten Commandments. That's the whole history of ancient Israel. Here's the Ten Commandments, ancient Israel. Live by them. Obey them. If you do, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. All the prophets, Daniel, Jeremiah, all of them, spoke in terms of their nation's obedience or disobedience to the Ten Commandments. They referred to, especially Daniel, refers to it explicitly. God, you've punished us because we have not obeyed your law and commandments. Israel was to be an example to all the other nations so that all the other nations could convert and become Christian nations. You say, oh, that was long before Jesus Christ. Listen, sorry, Jesus Christ was long before the world was created. Basic theology, guys. John 1, Hebrews 1, the book of Revelation, Revelation 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being through Him. So yeah, this is true. Did God set aside North America to be a Christian nation? Absolutely He did. And other parts of the world as well. Did God set apart all of Christendom to be a Christian nation, a Christian culture, a Christian civilization? Yes. Gospel went to Europe. The European peoples, of which there are many, from Greece to Finland, from Russia to, you know, Iceland, Portugal, Spain, converted to Jesus Christ. That's why there's Christian crosses on the flags of many of the nations in Northwestern Europe. Even Russia, their military flags have a cross on them, a Christian cross. Not a moon, not stars, but crosses. I want a new flag for the United States with a Christian cross on it. Christian nationalism, okay, so I read that. This is very true. And we want many Christian nations, many, many. El Salvador. I lived in El Salvador for 2 years. El Salvador, the Savior. The country is named after Jesus Christ, the Savior. Excuse me. Hello, Christian nation. But you've allowed these antichrist evil peoples to come in and introduce their ideas. It goes all the way back to the French Revolution. Marxism, atheism, rejection of the Holy Scriptures, a rejection of Jesus. We're going to give you freedom, they say, and they give you slavery and death and evil. Dominican Republic. The Dominicans were the great evangelical arm of the Catholic Church. Not going to get into debate about Catholicism, but look, there's a cross on their flag too. Christian nations around the world, amongst different peoples. All right, reading on. That often overlaps the conservative political agenda, including opposition to abortion, yes, same-sex marriage, yes, transgender rights, yes, transgender rights, rights for transgenders? What? You get special rights because you cut something off and drilled a hole and took some hormones? Researchers say, okay, again, appeal to authority, appeal to their own, her own prophet, her own priests of the her cult. Researchers say that's an appeal to her authority, the authority of her cult leaders. Christian nationalism is often associated with the mistrust of immigrants and Muslims. Okay, what's wrong with that? I don't allow anybody to walk into my house and just, you know, roll out their bed mat and sleep on the floor. Heck no, no way. There's a reason I have a fence around my house. It's my house with my wife and my kids. And those who I want to come in, I invite them in. And they're welcome as my friends, people I trust. I don't let outsiders in, nor should a nation. No nation does this. What nation does this? But somehow you have to, you demand that the Christian nature of America be utterly diluted. This is what they demand. This is what these cult leaders demand. These antichrist people demand. Utterly dilute the Christian nature of the country is their demand. Because, again, goes right back to the Gospels, a hatred of Jesus Christ, demonizing Jesus Christ. He has a demon. That's what they said of him. All right. Some of Idaho's Republicans' primaries for the legislature were won by candidates touting Christian values or sharing priorities with Christian nationalists, such as sports bans for transgender athletes. What is more common sense than that? What is more common sense than that? Transgender athletes? I don't want a man competing with my daughter in sports. This is common sense. They talk about common sense gun laws. How about just common sense? Mastriano called the separation of church and state a myth. This is where people get mixed up. The Ten Commandments are universally applicable. It ought to form the foundation of every nation's legal and moral understanding of the world. Now, if they're going to conflate the Ten Commandments with the church, well, that's part of their manipulation. But the Ten Commandments should be, ought to be, and are, in fact, the foundation of all moral law. That ought to be explicit. It ought to be embraced. Now, if you're going to call the Ten Commandments the church, I don't think you should. But it absolutely should be the foundation for all moral law. So one of these priests or prophets of her cult goes on. So she's quoting somebody else. It is literally good and evil, he continued. There is no room for compromise. So that is the threat to democracy. All right. Quoting another one of her cult leaders, a professor of sociology at Indiana University. A threat to democracy. What do you think founded this country? And Canada, by the way. New Zealand. Australia. Christian Europeans. Why do you think everybody wants to come here? Yeah. So he goes on. The research found 1 in 5 Americans align with many of these values. Well, it should be 4 out of 5, not 1 out of 5. That's down from nearly 1 in 4 decades for a decade earlier. Okay, just as Americans have become less religious overall. So, you know, that's unfortunate. We need to reverse that. They need to increase, and we will. We'll increase. The fact that Drudge Report highlighted this article on the front page of his paper shows that the fear that they have. It shows their fear. Let them be fearful. And then she quotes another one of her cult leaders, Robert Jones, CEO of a public religion research institute. Look, these people are set up as figures of authority to tell people what to think. And they're part of the cult. Why do Christians fall for this stuff? Why do Christians even listen to this stuff? White evangelical Christians were among the strongest supporters of the assertion that God intended America as a promised land for European Christians. Amen. He did. Those who backed that idea were far more likely to agree that true American patriots may have to resort to violence to save our country. These people are such hypocrites. All right? They've already turned the national security state against Christians in this country, against whites and Christians in this country. They're complaining about violence? The whole National Security Council came out with a white paper to demonize traditional Americans. And they're complaining about violence? Hypocrites. Same hypocrites that Jesus Christ dealt with 2,000 years ago. Okay, when Jesus Christ rails against hypocrisy, it's not the personal morality that he was railing against. It's not. It's institutional hypocrisy, where they can go out and they can crucify Jesus Christ and claim that they're righteous people. It wasn't their personal moral lives. So they go out and they crucify Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and claim they're doing righteous. That's the utter hypocrisy. And here these people are saying, oh, you know, violence, violence, violence. Who's got the violence? Antifa, BLM, and the national security state have the violence. Yet they want to, again, the hypocrites, they want to blame others for what they're doing themselves. All right, here's a little quote that I'll disagree with. Judeo-Christian values are the foundation of America, he argued. All right? So this is, he's quoting this church leader, Pastor Tim. Judaism is Antichrist. You got to get through that head. Judaism is Antichrist. Go back and read your Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read your Gospels. Who were the enemies of Jesus Christ? It's the Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? The leaders of Judaism. Rabbis today trace their heritage right back to the Pharisees of 2,000 years ago. And they're open about it. I've posted about that. Where's my source? The Jerusalem Post. Rabbis trace their heritage right back to the Pharisees of old. The same people that had Jesus Christ crucified. The same people that supported Saul in his persecution of Christians. Why do people think the Bible doesn't apply to society anymore? All right, let's keep going. People are afraid to speak up for these values because they're afraid the left is going to slap a label like racist or Christian nationalist on them. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. Christians have to stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of being called dirty names. They call Jesus Christ every dirty name. They said his mother was a you-know-what. They said they called him a bastard. They called Jesus Christ a bastard because his mother was pregnant by some unknown man, according to them. They said he was full of demons. Misleads people. They called him every name in the book. Jesus Christ said, he said, hey, if they call me Beelzebul, what do you think they're going to call you? And today, being called a Nazi or a racist or a sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, anti-Semitic, Islamophobic, it's the same thing. It's the modern way of saying you're full of demons. You're full of Beelzebul. That's the modern way of saying it. And so they demonize the followers of Jesus Christ. And a lot of followers of Jesus Christ are terrified, just as they were 2,000 years ago. They believed in Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. The Bible talks about this. Why do Christians keep falling into this stuff? All right, and here's a man I feel sorry for, Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Now, first of all, in defense of him, these reporters will typically take something out of context and twist it. So he may not have actually said what she said, the pastor said. I don't have any trust for these people, and there's no reason to. But nevertheless, supposedly he said the hair on the back of my neck goes up when he hears the term Christian nationalism. And the author of the article said that he was embarrassed to see Christian imagery during the January 6th riot. Quote, that was a sad day to see those sacred symbols and words pimped like that. All right, again, man who's afraid. A man who's afraid. Why are you afraid? And you've been cowed. You've been cowed to bow down and worship before these antichrists. And you have more concern about keeping the antichrist happy than Jesus Christ. Here's a good example of what you should not be, Christian. All right. She goes on to quote another false prophet. Chief Strategy Officer for Moonshot, a tech company that aims to counter online violent extremism, disinformation, and other harms. Wonder who's funding them. Same group of people. Probably the federal government, too. Christian nationalism began picking up steam around 2015 amid a rising narrative of purported Christian persecution of Christians. Yeah, well, you know what? When people get fired from their jobs because they're Christian, I guess you can call that persecution. And you're going to talk about purported? Of course, they would say that I'm not really a Christian. Christians, you got to wake up for this. You got to embrace the suck and roll with it and stop being worried about these false accusations. So she says the movement is heretical and idolatry. And, of course, they always say apocalyptic vision that very often leads to violence. Hypocrites. What hypocrites? You know, where are they criticizing BLM and Antifa and overreach by the federal government and the subversion of the national security state to target traditional Americans? Oh, here's a good quote. I see Christian nationalism as the gasping, dying breath of an older generation of America that is afraid that Christians are going to be replaced. Well, you know, It's our job to make sure it's not. Because I've said, if we don't have Christian nations, we're not going to have Christianity. Anyway, good article. It's a good news story. They may want to make an article look bad. Christians need to become immune to this idea that they have to dance around what the Antichrist want. When the Antichrist say, don't be racist, sexist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, intolerant, divisive, or anti-Semitic, or Islamophobic, stop dancing to their music. Turn on the Holy Scriptures. Turn on the Holy Scriptures. Stop dancing to the music. And embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go back and read the relationship between Jesus Christ and certain other people. And if they're calling you dirty names, that's okay. They called him dirty names 2,000 years ago. Fritz Bergeron, bloodandfaith.com, out.